your name.
One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
We want to wish all of the fathers a happy Father's Day. Fathers play such a vital role in raising children, as do mothers. And last month, we actually focused on mothers in our Mother's Day sermon and actually went over the importance of mothers. And mothers certainly play a vital role in raising children. But fathers play an even bigger role in raising children. And this can be seen when you look at children that grow up in church and the percentage of them that stay in the faith. There are homes where neither parent brings the child to church. And those children that go to church, only 6% actually stay in the faith. And then there's homes where only the mother brings the children to church. And of those children, 19% stay in the faith. And then there are homes where only the father brings the children to church. It jumps up to 55%, actually quite a big, much more of a difference than when only a mother brings a child to church. Now, when both parents are connected to God and bring their kids to church, that number climbs to 76%. So a huge, huge increase in the percentage of children that stay in the faith when both parents actually are involved. And last month, we actually talked about and presented from Focus on the Family. From their website, they actually have an article on how children need father's love and mother's love. And we actually went over part of that last month, the mother's part of it, and we'll cover a little bit of the mother's today, but we're going to really focus more on the father's today. So to be concerned with proper child development is to be concerned about making sure children have daily access to the different and complementary ways mothers and fathers parent. Dads tend to see their children in relation to the rest of the world. Mothers tend to see the rest of the world in relation to their children. What motivates most mothers as parents? They are motivated primarily by the things in the outside world. However, things that might hurt their children. However, fathers, they're not unconcerned about these things. They tend to focus on how children will or will not be prepared for something that they may encounter in the world. Fathers help children see that particular attitudes and behaviors have certain consequences. And I know one of those consequences is when your father gets home, I'm going to tell him about this. You know, I've never heard my dad say, you know, when your mom gets home, I'm going to tell her what you've done, and she's going to give you a spanking. We would have laughed. We wouldn't have cared about that. But when our father was going to give us a spanking, boy, we didn't want to deal with that. To be concerned really with proper child development, we really need both father and mother in the home. Men and women are different. God made us different. We're very different, and we're made differently for a purpose and for a reason. God created, and we're going to read about this just in just a little bit. He created man and woman, and he created them different. And this is why, really, you do need, and there are certain unique circumstances where a spouse passes away. There are also circumstances where a spouse is unfaithful and there's divorce. Of course, there's a lot of other reasons that people get divorced today. And really, biblically, we need to look at the Bible and see what God has to say about marriage. There really, most of the divorces that happen today shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be getting a divorce just because you can't get along. Listen, start getting along. Love your husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Obey God. Love is something that is actually, the biblical love is actually a decision that you make based on what you need to do and what God requires of you. So look at the Bible and see what God says about this. But certainly there are reasons why sometimes a child may be raised without a father or without a mother. But the best is to have a father and a mother there together. Fathers and mothers do things differently, eat differently, they dress differently, they smell different, they groom themselves different, they cope with life different. And it's important that fathers are present in raising their children. Boys and girls who grow up with a father are more familiar and secure with the curious world of men. Girls with involved married fathers are more likely to have healthier relationships with boys in adolescence and men in adulthood because they learn from their father how proper men act toward women. They also know which behaviors are inappropriate. They also have a healthy familiarity with the world of men. They don't wonder how a man's facial stubble feels or what it's like to be hugged or held by strong arms. This knowledge brings emotional security and safety from the exploitation of predator males. They also learn from mom how to live in a woman's world. This is equally important. And boys who grow up with their dads are much less likely to be violent. They have their masculinity affirmed and learn from their fathers how to channel their masculinity and strength in positive ways. Fathers help children understand proper male sexuality, hygiene, and behavior in age-appropriate ways. Mothers help boys understand the female world and develop a sensitivity toward women. They also help boys know how to relate and communicate with women. And so it's very important that children grow up with fathers and mothers in the home whenever possible. And we're going to look at the Bible and really see that this standard actually comes from the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, we read, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And this is really the beginning of really marriage and the family. And you see, God could have created two men to raise children. He could have created two women to raise children, but he didn't. He created a man and a woman to raise children. And certainly God creates all the animals, brings them by Adam. Certainly we have a lot of love for many animals. I know today most people, if you have a pet in your house, quite often it's a dog or a cat. I've heard that for every person, every man needs to have a healthy view of himself, needs to have a dog that thinks he can't do anything wrong, and a cat who doesn't care whether he exists or not. And there's some funny things there. But you know, some people have pet pigs. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin that had a pet squirrel. There are pet birds. There are all kinds of different animals that people have as pets. But none of those are animals that we can relate to in the same way that we can relate to a human being. And so if they would have been sufficient, God wouldn't have created Eve. But God created Eve. Obviously, it was necessary for a human counterpart to be created. And so God created Eve, and you have man and woman, one man, one woman. Jesus confirmed this. This is the pattern from the foundation of the world. Jesus confirmed that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and what God has joined together, let not man separate. And this is really the standard for God's word. One of the things that we see when we look in the Bible is that obedience to God brings blessings, and disobedience to God brings curses. And we've talked about how, and we all know that that's true for yourself. But did you know that it's also true for your children and your grandchildren, maybe even for many generations to come? In Exodus chapter 20, part of the Ten Commandments, beginning at verse 6, we read, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers," not the mothers, but visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children, on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So God is a jealous God. He wants us to worship him and him alone. He doesn't want us to worship other gods. He doesn't want us to worship the devil. He doesn't want us to go and get our fortunes told by a fortune teller. He doesn't want us to practice any other types of pagan religions. He wants us to worship him and him alone through his son, and come into relationship with him through the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And when we do that, God blesses us. But when we violate his commandments, there's a curse that proceeds all the way to the third and the fourth generation. And I do believe that today, with the power of the Holy Spirit and the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we can rise up and reverse those curses and break those curses through the power of God, through repentance. In fact, the Bible, in the entirety of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that God is a patient God. We see that God is a slow to anger. He's rich in mercy. He's long-suffering with us. And he gives us ample time to repent. And when we have sinned, we do need to repent, to turn from our wicked ways, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to realize that our actions as fathers impact not only our own lives, they also impact the life of our wife, and they impact the life of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and our great-great-grandchildren will be impacted by whether we obey God or violate his commandments. When we look at the Bible in the book of Genesis, we went over this actually, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago, we went over the covenant, and we're talking actually doing a sermon series on renewing America's covenant with God. And we're looking at the original covenants in the Bible. And we actually looked at God's covenant with Abraham, whose name was Abram, but God changed it to Abraham. And we see in Genesis chapter 18 that God actually knew Abraham in verse 19 in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So God knows men so that those men can humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, so that he might hear from heaven, might forgive their sins, and heal our land. And also, we're talking that really starts individually, but you also have that impacting the wife, you have that impacting the children, you have an impact on the grandchildren, on the great-grandchildren. But you may say, well, what happens if I haven't done that? What happens if I have failed God? What happens if I've lived in rebellion to God? And I know I've spoken with many people. In fact, I've spoken with people that have told me, you know, there's a period of time where I've just been living in rebellion to God. I've been doing my own things. I've been thinking about myself. I've been living the way of the world according to the flesh, what the Bible in the New Testament calls the flesh, our desires to actually sin and to please our flesh and our body. Certainly, there are certain things that we need, but also there are things where we can take things overboard. We can go overboard. We can go overboard with eating. We can go overboard with sleeping. We can go overboard with work. We can go overboard with so many different ways. We can go overboard with sex. Actually, God created men to have a sex drive. But God created men to abstain prior to marriage, to wait for their spouse, and then to cleave to their spouse, and to be faithful to their spouse, to not actually go and share their seed with others, to actually, the Bible calls your fountains in Proverbs, let your fountain be your own for you and your wife, not for another. You're not to actually go out and engage in sexual promiscuity. You are to love your wife. You're to love the wife of your youth. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs. You're to let her breast satisfy you. You're to be enraptured with her love. And so there are ways that we can actually take and really abuse what the good things that God has actually given us. And certainly we need to take care of our bodies, but we don't need to give in to the lust of the flesh to actually go after any other woman that would entice us, but to restrict ourselves to loving our wife and to be enraptured with her love. So there are people that have violated God's commandments. In fact, we all have violated God's commandments. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glory. There is none good, no, not one. And so we all have sinned. Every one of us could have done things better in life. Every one of us has fallen short of the commandments and the precepts that God has laid out for us. So every one of us, there's no one that is going to be able to say, you know what, I've done everything right and I don't need to repent. We need to be humble. We need to actually humble ourselves before the Lord and confess our sins before Him and turn from our wicked ways. The Bible holds out hope for people who have been living in sin. And again, all of us to some extent live in sin. That doesn't excuse sin. It doesn't mean that we should continue in that sin. God wants us to come to Him as we are. We don't have to get cleaned up to come to God. We come to God as we are. But God wants us to be holy even as He is holy. And again, we're all going to sin. So we repent of our sins. We apply the biblical principles, reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, hiding it in our hearts so that we might not sin against God, abiding in the Word so that we could be His disciples indeed, that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free from sin. And also to pray and to praise God, to live according to His commandments. And we should be moving closer and closer to that mark of being perfect. Not that we're ever going to get there here on this earth, but we should be moving toward that mark. God gives grace, He gives mercy, and He gives promise for the next generation if we do one thing. And that one thing is listed in Psalm chapter 78, beginning at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. So we are to listen to the law of God. And I just quoted earlier from Psalm 119 that we're to hide His law in our heart, or His word in our heart. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old. So God actually opening His mouth in parables, uttering dark sayings of old. We actually have talked about this. Jesus Christ actually fulfilled this passage. But going on in verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. So the children of Israel had heard the law of God. They were actually supposed to come every single year and stand before the congregation, and the law of God was to be read out loud once a year. Well, we see also in Deuteronomy that the fathers were to train their children, the mothers were to train their children, the grandparents were to train their grandchildren in obedience to the law of God. So it's not just that one time of year, but they were to hear the word of God and their fathers were to tell them about the word of God. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hopes in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So even if you've been like that, even if you have committed sin, even if you have violated his commandment, you've been living for yourself instead of living for God, you can today repent of your sins. You can humble yourselves and pray and ask God to forgive you. And every one of us needs to humble ourselves and pray and confess our sins to God and repent of those sins. And we need to train the next generation in obedience to the commandments of God, so that that next generation may fear God and walk in his way and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright. You can't do anything about the past except repent and say you're sorry and make things right. But you can do something about the future, and that is committing to humble yourself and pray and turn to God. Seek him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Abide in the Word of God, that you might be his disciple, that you might know the truth, and that that truth might set you free, and teach your children and your grandchildren the Word of God, so that they might obey God where you have actually failed to obey him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Grace and peace, everyone. This is Pastor Garfield Crumbie. I'm inviting everyone to join me every Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Empowerment Zone right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.